to follow Mississippi State, we have Pam Bennett from The Ohio State University.
I got that right.
Yeah, don't forget The, although today I'm not sure what The Ohio State University is doing. If you haven't heard, Urban Meyer's in a little bit of trouble. So first, before I start, I am Pam Bennett, Associate Professor for Horticulture and also State Master Gardener Volunteer Program Director, but I also have the really good fortune of being located in a county. So I am a part-time horticulture educator in a local county in Ohio. We're going to take a little bit different twist here on food insecurity and food issues and talk more about our local foods program. First of all, how many of you have worked with food councils in your communities, your counties, or your states? Okay, so you're familiar with them, many of you, and also probably familiar with some of the challenges with food councils. A little bit of information about our county, about 135,000 in population, and like many rural urban counties in Ohio and probably across the country, we are losing young people. They're leaving the county, leaving the city, going to other places where there's a lot more action, a lot more things to do, more jobs and so forth. So we're kind of addressing that issue as well. We have about 54,000 households. Our median household income is 44,000, and we have 15.7% in poverty, which is just slightly higher than the national average. So we're just a little bit higher in terms of our poverty level or, in our medium, or lower in our median household income. In the beginning in Ohio, we developed a local foods program, a secure food or a food signature program. We were addressing the issue starting way back in 2006, 7, 8, around that area. We were doing a lot of different things all across the state, purchasing local, business development, food banks, churches. It was really scattered across the state in terms of who was working on food issues. In 2012, our Master Gardener volunteers across the state developed a specialization called Backyard and Local Foods, and that was where Master Gardener volunteers could become advanced certified training specialists focusing on the whole local foods and the backyard growing issue. In, I think it was 2016, 2014, we developed a local food signature program in Ohio, which kind of helped bring everybody together in extension to really focus our efforts on the local foods issue. We focused on food production, and as you can see, agriculture is our number one industry, employs 1 in 7 Ohioans. We have a very broad industry, landscape, horticulture, floriculture, nursery, and then also farm markets and production. Food and family, food and business, and food and community became our main focus areas in which extension would be working then in each of our communities. These took off across the state in larger metropolitan communities. Columbus, Cincinnati, Toledo, our large communities, really had a great opportunity to develop these because they were also working with the food banks, with these other organizations who had already started addressing food insecurity issues. In Clark County, however, being a small kind of urban rural community, we weren't seeing that happening. So through the great extension way that we are really good at, grants, begging, borrowing, stealing, donations, whatever kind of money we could come up with, we were able to hire paid staff. At that time, we realized that if extension didn't sort of put something out there and take the lead on developing that local foods program, it wasn't likely to go anywhere for quite a period of time. To back up to 1993, Extension was the first organization. When we first started our Master Gardener Volunteer Program, we were the first organization to start community gardens. So there was no central leadership from any other organizations other than they thought it was a good idea, but they didn't really know what to do. So we hired paid staff, which was huge because it's not something that with part of my job that I would have been able to focus on. This person was 20 hours a week. We had them for 4 years. The first 2 years, we really focused on the food issue. The second and third year, we really started making headway. So that person, that's all they did was focus on community gardens and local foods. We developed a steering committee. We went out and found all the different people who are interested, extension professionals. Our master gardeners probably, I would say, were the main leaders in this effort. They saw the neighborhoods. They lived in these neighborhoods. They really wanted to address the issue, so they were really involved in this effort. And then also our community stakeholders. We did have a couple commissioners, Chamber of Commerce members, and so forth. We developed two major focus areas. The steering committee sat down and said, okay, what is it we really want to do? And the two main areas were developing a food council, a local food council that could address the food insecurity issues and other food issues. And then also at the same time, we really had a passion for developing a year-round market, a year-round farmers market, or just a market in general. We have a local farm market that has been probably in business for, I'd say, 8 years in the downtown area run by the chamber, but it's just a seasonal farm market. And we had a lot of our vendors come to us say they were very interested in a farm market or year-round market. In this market, we had a vision of a commercial kitchen, vendors, not just producers of vegetables and growing crops, but also artisans and bakers and so forth. We would do educational programming. We'd have room in there for a lot of different classes that Extension could offer, SNAP Ed, FCS, and all those different program areas. And then we would also provide a framework for food-based economic development in that commercial kitchen. So we first started with a commercial kitchen. We found a lot of our vendors, our farm markets, and again, I think this is why Extension was so successful. We had access to all those growers. We had access to all the niche farmers, all the vegetable growers across the county. So we were able to get with them individually, recruit them, talk to them, find out, do you want to be a part of this? And many of them were very interested, so we started gathering as many names as we could. We have a felt sheet that is probably about 8 by 4 foot tall that we put everybody's business cards on there who wanted to do something with local foods. And of that, probably half of that sheet was all of our farmers and our producers. Brokers were also a component. We had a few people who were being a broker, kind of serving as that middleman, taking the produce, bringing it together, and then distributing it out to the consumers and the grocery stores as well as the restaurants. So we had quite a blend of people who were interested in this. We also learned something, too. We never really thought about this in the commercial kitchen, but we had great interest from Second Harvest Food Bank to package meals. You know, they get frozen chickens. Sometimes they get fresh meat, not usually, but most of the time it's frozen. And instead of just getting the frozen chicken, turning around and giving it back out, distributing it, they could break it down, cook it, package it, and actually have packaged meals, kind of like a Meals on Wheels type effort, where they would actually use the commercial kitchen to package those meals. And we were really kind of surprised by that. We hadn't thought about that. The other trend that we were seeing at that time was a couple of our vendors, Mad Sweet Heat, Ruth's Potato Chips, they had to go out of town. They had outgrown their homes, their cottage industry. They didn't have enough room to produce their product, so they had to find somewhere in Dayton or Cincinnati. And one, in fact, even went from the Springfield area, clear down 4 hours away to Athens, Ohio, to a place that had something like this set up. So we were losing business in Springfield, in Clark County, because they had to go elsewhere to produce their product. At the same time, while we were dealing with the vendor side of it, our expertise, a group of people came forward. Spring Forward is the name of the organization. It was our hospital, it was our chamber, it was our two foundations, and a few other businessmen donated $1 million each organization. We had, I think they have $7 million in total for downtown renovation. Of course, if you are from an area where small city, you know, we all have the same story. The malls came in, the cities died. Now we're all trying to revitalize those downtown areas. This group is focused on that downtown revitalization. We met with them and said, look, we've got this group of vendors. What can we do downtown? Where can we locate downtown where we have this year-round farmers market? So we developed stakeholders meetings, and we called it the Myers Market Committee. And Myers Market was just basically an old historical market that was in downtown Springfield. The city owned it. The United Senior Services were in it. They went out to another building, a better building, a bigger building. But this building had historical value, and nobody wanted it torn down. The city really couldn't maintain it because of finances, so the city said, okay, we're going to sell this to you for $1. Of course, politically, you know, that caused some challenges, but they were able to work through it because the bottom line was what comes back into this market would be for the entire community. One of the interesting stakeholder meetings had to do with a co-op. As being part of Extension, we have great resources in terms of our farmers markets, our local vendors, developing co-ops. We've got a big program in Ohio focused on this. And we brought in speakers from all around the state, people who were doing this already, who were had co-ops already in existence, our specialists who were talking about business development, and we gave them the picture. Here are all the different types of models for this year-round market. Everybody came into this thinking they wanted a cooperative. They thought that was going to be the best way to go. But unfortunately, what we found was in Athens, Ohio, or not in Athens, but in Oxford, Ohio, a very small area, they had a co-op, but the people that were in it were struggling. There was not a lot of development or investment in it financially, and there were issues. The one that was doing the best was part of a Metro Park system in Dayton, Ohio. And because they were part of the Metro Park system, nobody had to pay for the building maintenance or anything. The vendors could just come in, sell their products, pay a rent, and then leave. There was no organization or management of that building. So they said, we don't want to go with a co-op. We can't do that today. We're going to go with individual vendors in this market. So as far as OSU Extension goes, we had kind of reached the end of our expertise in developing this farm market. We brought the vendors together. We facilitated meetings. But financially, we absolutely had no money in terms of being able to do anything to develop this market. We didn't have the $5 million or the $1 even to invest in a building. And we knew we were at the end of the road. So this group went ahead and developed the program, and it's successful as it is right now today. They're getting ready to start next year. The other thing we learned was educational programming. Who knew what local was? What does local mean? What does it mean to you? What does it mean to me? So we decided to start on some educational programming. Our Focus on Local series, we're still doing that. It's running through Extension right now, but it's going to change. Our Focus on Local series was based on, let's take these local vendors and let's highlight them. Let's bring people in and talk about La Torte Dolce and the yogurt people, and let's show them what local people are doing. We also started a food summit. We had three food summits, and those three food summits led into eventually the formation of our food council, which was really critical to get that kind of process going. That educational component was just absolutely essential for people to understand, well, what is a food council? What do they do? What do they care? Are they policy? Are they advocates? What do they do? One of the things I'll share real quick, in 2015, something that really opened our eyes during that food summit, we had a panel of restaurateurs, chefs, sitting up here, and they talked about their challenges of buying local food, you know, seasonality and all those issues. And then we had a guy in the audience say, well, you know what, I am a chef, I'm in a restaurant, but nobody has come and approached me like Sysco Foods. Sysco Foods comes to my restaurant, they say, what do you need, what do you want to order, and I tell them what I want to order. After that, I'm running this next session, and all these people are over here talking, I'm like, what in the world's going on? Well, the chefs and all of the growers were all of a sudden talking. Just that fact that the growers never went to the chefs before and said, I've got this fresh product. So just bringing people together, that network, was really very valuable for us. In 2017, we really focused on developing the food council. And as a result, we had another stakeholder meeting in June. And out of that stakeholder meeting, we came up with these four critical areas for the food council to address: education, food access, business development, and marketing. We weren't sure what comes first. Do we go out and recruit people and say, hey, we want you to be part of this food council? What's the structure look like? Or do people say, hey, I volunteer and I want to be part of that? And what we decided was that we were so vested in this and we wanted to make sure it was successful. We said, we're going to develop the structure of the council. It can change down the road. If the council wants to change, that's fine. But we're going to develop that, and we're going to recruit those participants who should be on this council to make it successful. So we created the infographic. We started recruiting. We decided who the members were. We selected those members. And key on that is we have community members. We have businessmen. We have businessmen and women, rather. We have a youth component, which was really critical. We have two young kids that are just extremely, it's just incredible what they're planning on doing here for the Food Council. And we have government. We have a city council person on this Food Council, so that we have that also, that political piece of it as well. So we started last fall. We met our first time in November. We started strategic planning, which nobody likes to do, but we did it anyways. And we did adopt a strategic plan on April 25th this year, and we created bylaws and accepted those in June. And we now have elected officers. We are hosting committee meetings. Our marketing has been meeting. We are not a 501c3 at this point. That could be on down the road, but we also have a local foundation who is extremely supportive of food insecurity, and they're going to host our funds for us. Our marketing committee is going to be working on a brand and promoting the Food Council. The youth are doing a community garden with a high school and hoping to gather other youth from around the community to have, you know, who have to do community service. And our food access committee, our Master Gardener Volunteers and Extension, is still very, very involved in that. We were fortunate to have a young graduate student from Ohio State. He was our summer assistant this last year with great GIS skills, and he was able to map food access areas in Clark County to help with the Food Access Committee. And if you look at all those food access points within walking distance, one thing that was really startling to us when we started doing GIS mapping, 17 of those data points are dollar stores. And that really kind of not shook us up, but kind of thought, you know, we don't have the fresh food. We have dollar store stuff being offered so far across our community. Our education committee is still working on the Focus on Local series. The Food Summit is kind of up in the air because it was kind of like we developed our food council. Do we need to continue to do this Food Summit right now? And then our business development committee is partnering with the Small Business Development Center to focus on things like cottage foods, how to get a home bakery license, and using food as a business incubator. So next spring, the market is supposed to be open 2018, but we all thought that they were really way forward in their time frame on getting this open. So they're going to open next spring. They're trying to figure out right now who's going to manage it, who are they going to pay to manage it, who will they hire, and so forth. The building downtown is renovated, which gives a lot of community excitement. You know, you're saving a building. Everybody's excited about having a market down there like it used to be. So there's a lot of community interest in this. The Food Council is very active right now and in very beginning stages, slow but finally moving. Education will continue to be ongoing, but one of the things that I think is really important for Extension is that we were at the table. We were at the table when the Food Summit started, when the Food Council started, when the Myers Market idea started. Are we getting credit for Myers Market? No. You know, our name is still in there that we were part of that planning, but we're not getting the credit, but that's okay. We just want to make sure these things happen, and it's all focused in our community on food.